Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum Ben Moshe. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about emotions and responsibility. On our previous shows, we said that a person has to take responsibility for his own emotions instead of putting the blame for what I feel on everyone else. And we'll try to understand this a bit better today. Be with us. Tal, please. Yeah, I think we're all familiar with the feeling of anger when someone else does something that's not to my liking and caused me to feel bad, maybe even hurt or harmed something that's important to me, and immediately I feel anger and I blame that person. And in general, many times we think that someone else is responsible for my emotional needs, my spouse or my family or the people around me. And maybe we feel that we're really right, but we know that mostly it doesn't bring us to a good place because it creates many conflicts. So today we'd like to talk about how to correctly manage our emotions, how to be responsible for them. Who is responsible for my emotional needs? Is it me? Is it someone else? Who owes you? Yeah. The entire world. Don't you feel it? I think so too. Exactly. So what's the problem? But the world doesn't agree, right? Why do I have this feeling that everyone has to meet my needs? It's a good feeling. I feel that way too, and Owen does. So what do? We have a demand toward the entire world. Since we're babies, we're used to being taken care of and so on. But later what happens? Suddenly I go to school. Suddenly I'm demanded to do different things. Toward the ages of 13, 15, and so on, and maybe later I have to go to the army and other things. The measure of my participation, the measure of demand toward me, is growing all the time. I don't understand what everyone wants from me. Why can't I remain as before? Especially if I'm pampered and I got everything from my parents and they always made sure that I'll have everything that I need, and suddenly they stop taking care of me, and maybe I have to go and work in some place where I really have to work hard and do things with people that I don't want to be around. And later maybe I even go to the army, to dangerous places. They don't let me sleep in my bed, eat what I'm used to eating. Where's my mom to hug me? I don't feel her warmth. In short, we are in a state where suddenly we discover that we are in a hostile world, right? And that's how it is with all of us. Now the question is, to what extent are we ready for it? And to what extent does the world want to help us, to be good to us, understand us? Well, if we're young, then it still understands us. There are different rules of how you behave with the younger people, with children, and so on. But if we're already grown-ups, then here, there could be a serious problem. But why? Why does the world have to be hostile toward me? It's not hostile. It just wants to receive from you what it thinks that it can, what it can get out of you. If the world would know that it can't get anything out of me, then it would disregard me altogether. If I'm a person that's living in the street, a homeless person, living on a bench in a park, then no one comes and demands anything of me. I have to take care of myself, so I have a few cardboard boxes. And this is how I live my life. But the moment I have a bit more than that, an apartment, or even a corner of my own, or something, that's it. Now I have to pay the electric bill and different taxes. Now you already owe someone, and more all the time. So I do the math. Why don't I live on the street? where I don't owe anyone anything, or I have no choice, I have to have something, but accordingly, I'll owe. So let's do the math. What's better? And then when we do the math, we see that still, how many people prefer to live on the street? There are such, but these are really individuals. And this really comes from choice. A person, suppose, chooses to disconnect from all the systems around him. He doesn't want to belong to anyone. He doesn't want to owe anyone. This is what leaves him on the street. And then he feels free. Free of everyone. But he's alone. He doesn't mind being alone. So he goes to one place, he gets a piece of bread, and another place something else, and so on. He has some clothes, there's some soup kitchen where he can eat something, and so on. There are such people, and they actually know how to get along fine. The question is this the kind of life that we should take an example from? Then, of course not. But what happens with those people that do want to be in some kind of relationship? Correspondingly, we also have to have duties, obligations, commitments, not only in terms of paying our bills, and if we have children, then we have to pay for them too, and many other things, that this puts us into the cycle of work and concerns and banks and whatnot. It's a mechanism that's built this way on purpose that I can no longer come out of it, on the one hand. On the other hand, we have no choice. We need all these things, so what do? So in this regard, I'd like to ask about relationships. Up till now, we described the picture in general, that every person feels that everyone has to provide him with everything that he needs, and every person feels that if he's demanded to do different things, then it's unpleasant. Where's mom to protect me? And now I want to ask about relationships, about a relationship between two people, suppose Tal and I. What I want to understand is, I as an individual in a relationship, who is responsible that I'll feel good? The ability to make me feel good in a relationship, is it in the hands of the other person or is it in my hands? Who's responsible for how I feel? Me or the other person? You? Okay, so here there's a problem. I saw your response. Exactly. This is where the problem starts. What does it mean that it's me? If it's me and you ask me, Oren, you want to feel good? Sure, I want to feel good. So why don't you feel good? Because she, no. No such thing as she. This is exactly what I need for you to explain to me. You said that I'm 100% responsible for how I feel. This isn't how I feel. I feel that other people are responsible for how I feel, that they influence whether I'm angry or happy or this or that, and you're saying you are. So if you can explain. We live in a reality in which everyone besides me are angels. Angels meaning what? That this is how they appear to me as human beings. But I depict them, I envision them, I form and shape them in front of me according to my own qualities. And they have no image, shape, color of their own, in and of themselves. But I'm the only one that depicts them. And therefore, how I will see them, how will I accept them, how will I relate to them, depends only on me. And how, by my attitude toward them, I will form and shape them from moment to moment, from state to state. What exactly does it depend on? What do you mean that it depends on me? It depends on my attitude toward them. It's very simple. It depends on my attitude toward them. Accordingly, I will see them, will feel them, will see the world. I shape the picture of the world. The world has no picture of its own. The world is a projection of myself. Is this something that happens subconsciously or passively? Of course, it happens subconsciously, but we can raise it from the subconscious to the conscious level. And then we ourselves will form the world the way we want to. So if I understand correctly, the first stage is to first of all reach the recognition that everything I see, the people around me, everything is a kind of projection of my own vision, perception. Yeah. I don't see them as they are, but as I am. Yeah. Okay, so how do I know what I have to do? How do I have to behave in order for them to change one way or another? What in me or about me creates negative behavior outside of me? When you depict, envision that what's outside of you isn't you, that it's society, people, enemies, or someone that's hostile towards you, or that you're in conflict with, and this is why, this is how you treat them. Were you to know that these are parts of your soul, that it seems to you that they're outside of you, and to the extent to which you relate them to yourself, you actually correct your soul, and were you to correctly form the world, shape it, bringing it to something closed, round, integral, then of course you'd see a different world. For example, I see someone outside of me that seems very cold, lacking any compassion and love. Do I have to understand something from that about myself? It's yours. What do you mean? That this person presents to you your internality that you still have not corrected, that quality, that if you correct this inclination in you correctly, you won't see anything negative on the outside. And it's really one-to-one. From what I see, I can understand about my own quality. Well, you can try and do that too. Again, we talked about it on our previous show, that it's a matter of gradual education. It's not simple. It takes time, but we have no choice. We'll have to do it. On our previous show, we said that everyone is in this kind of laboratory with other people in which they work on their relationships. Now, if I identified in my family at work someone that there's something about them that really disturbs me, a certain quality, then I take that to the laboratory and I can correct that quality inside of me. Yeah, and this will change my reality. True. Okay, I want to go back a second to the matter of responsibility. From what you just explained, who's responsible for my happiness, for me feeling good? It's only up to you. But what about others? I'm not alone in the world. I'm not living in Owen's world that everything's in my hands like a clean slate where I can really draw heaven for myself. You can't immediately respond. I'm not asking for something immediate. I want to just understand. You're living in your own world. Everything that's around you, everything that you see is you. These are your own qualities that, like in a theater, they're acting out before you. Tragedies, comedies, anything and everything. So why do some actors behave poorly toward me? Because this is how you form them yourself. I don't treat myself poorly. No, not yourself. Others. The entire world outside of you is showing you your behavior toward the world. So why don't we feel, why don't I feel this on myself? Because otherwise that would force you to behave in a very rigid way, direct, instinctive way, where you'd have no free choice, you would necessarily behave so. So how? So that I can't do anything bad to others, because then I immediately feel that by that I harm myself. It's like immediate feedback. Yeah? So this isn't the situation in order to leave me with free choice. Yes. What is my free choice? To supplement this unknown connection. The measure to which what I see outside of myself is actually a part of me. Again, what's my free choice? My point of free choice is to relate to everything that's outside of me as my internality, that this is how I see it, and this is how I have to relate to it, as my internality. And then I correct my attitude toward everything in reality, so much so that I feel it as I feel myself. What is a corrected attitude? Love. What is love? Love covers for all crimes. Good connection. Can you explain? Good connection with that person, with everyone that's outside of me. But the correction of that quality that I've identified in someone else is to correct my attitude toward that person, or not necessarily? No, here you're asking about the practical work. Should I correct it or not? I'm not talking about that yet. This is something that you have to learn. What are you jumping into the practical work for immediately? I'm explaining the principle. Okay, I want to ask about the principle itself. What is a person's corrected attitude towards something? That he sees that the entire world's his, that he forms the entire world by his own desire, by the good or bad desire. And this is how he sees a multifaceted world. Okay, so I understand the first thing is to see the entire world as my own. Like you said, it's all yours, it's all you. What do you mean yours? It's your internality, that this is how you see it outside of you. Okay, this is the first thing. But it's very important. Imagine it's like X-rays, that you see your internality outside of you, and then you can correct it, because you see everything conspicuously, big, bad, threatening, crazy, this, that. These are all my own qualities, only I see it. Look at the X-ray machine that I'm in, that depicts me to myself. Now the question is, what do I do about these things? How do I get used to this? How do I grasp this? How do I envision to myself what I discover, what I see? What do I do with it? And what follows is that I need to perform a correction. Correction on what? On my blindness. That I see the world that's outside of me, and I can't imagine that it's me. This is how all of it exists inside of me. And if I arrange myself with the rest of the world nicely, up to the point where I love the entire world, then in that, I truly corrected myself. And this is how you reach love another as thyself toward the whole of reality. The other also means the still, the vegetative, and the animate, not only man, because all the still, the vegetative, and the animate are included in man. And from that, I reach a higher step of loving the Creator, from loving the created beings to loving the Creator. And then the whole of reality is actually included in me, and I am on the degree of Adam Rishon, literally meaning the first Adam. What is love for the Creator? It means the whole of reality, when it's all tied together, that's called the Creator, nature. in Hebrew Elohim, which in Gematria equals nature. And I have to reach love? Yes, the measure of love. Why? Because this is my internality. This is my soul. So all these emotions that we experience, of disappointment, anger, in general, discontent regarding how others behave, where does that come from? From what kind of blindness or what? It's a special kind of blindness that we have. The force that's standing in my way of seeing the rest of the parts of reality as my own is called the evil inclination, or the ego. That this egoistic desire, it divides reality into two. It depicts a part of reality as my own. And it's a question, is it really mine? That this is how it depicts it. And depicts another part as something that's far and distant from me, and that's also not clear. Is it distant or is it mine? And the wisdom of Kabbalah says, when we already discover it later, but Kabbalists, they tell us in advance that you discover that the whole of reality is truly yours. So, what I understand is that the first stage is that what I see around me, outside of me, is me. Yeah. Second stage is that you have to correct your attitude towards everything. It's not enough that the sages say that this is how it is. To correct meaning what? That I start relating to others as I relate to myself. That it's truly me, only I have to skip over my evil inclination, this rejection. And the third stage is that after I correct my attitude to them, I gather all of these relations into one big love, and from it, I discover an attitude of love also toward the source of all of reality, which is the general force called the Creator. That's it? Three stages? Yeah. Okay, so just to understand, you depicted different things here that I have to arrange inside myself, a new attitude toward reality that I have to build inside myself, I have to do this, then I have to do that, and so on. Meaning I have to do different things. What do I get as a result of all of this? Why am I doing all of this? What does it lead me to? To a world that is all good. Meaning what? That you start seeing that all of reality is good and soft and loving. The world becomes eternal because there's no one that harms. There's no one that receives something at the expense of others. And therefore, gradually the world receives its eternal, true form. And this is how you reach a state where you rise above the angel of death, which is the ego. In this process, all those people that did bad things to me, where did they go? All those, so to speak, negative people, you see all of them as angels, as people that did good to you, because through the bad attitude toward you, they pushed you to think about the world, to think about the correction, why is it so, and to eventually reach the good. Okay, and suppose I started taking responsibility for my actions, like you said, everything's in my own hands. I started taking responsibility, I started working with these three stages. In the meantime, what happens with the rest of the negative phenomena and the people around me, how does that influence them? Your enemy, your hater, turns into your lover. Meaning what? That there are no enemies, they're only lovers. How will the others know? It's not about them knowing. It's a projection of yourself. Once he changed his attitude, their behavior will change. Of course, they have no free choice. It's all in his hands. He is in a theater that he's operating. That's it. It's not all that simple from one day to the next, but it's a process during which you change and they change too. They change accordingly. Okay, going back to the first question, how should I behave, relate in a relationship to another person? Doesn't matter in what kind of relationship, at home, at work, in the street, everywhere. How should I start treating other people in order to take responsibility for my own emotions? You have to treat them as angels, that the upper force, the Creator, is sending them to you in order to correct you, for you to change your attitude toward them and the rest of the world, and yourself, and the general force of reality, that you'll see that the system is round and integral, and that you're actually the one that's controlling it, managing it. The world was created for me, as it says. And in the meantime, how should I treat those people outside of me? You have to start trying to treat them better and better. From the understanding, I also start looking for a feeling on the inside, and I constantly depict to myself, where is this x-ray machine for it not to escape, so that I'll see that this is how the world behaves, and then I'll start understanding that the entire world truly exists only in me, and it's called the imaginary world, and there are no people or anything else here. These are all parts of myself, and the entire world is me. Truly amazing. Dr. Leitman, thank you very, very much. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. And till next time, all the best.